A new project at Georgia State University teaches students about archaeology using old trash. Urban archaeologists unearth broken Coke bottles, Civil War bullets, and other items from sites around Atlanta. And with me now are the people behind that project, Jeffrey Glover, Associate Professor at Georgia State's Department of Anthropology. Hi, Jeffrey.
Good morning.
Brennan Collins, Georgia State's Associate Director of Writing Across the Curriculum. Hi, Brennan.
Hey.
And Robin Wharton, an English Department lecturer who works with undergrad students. Hi, Robin.
Hello.
And we have Jessica Moss with us, a master's student at State who's worked with the project. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Okay. So, Jeffrey, where does most of this trash come from?
Well, most of this trash comes from the MARTA rail lines when they were originally constructed in the late 70s. So MARTA contracted with Georgia State and GDOT to do the archaeological work in association with the construction work.
Had they planned to do that all along, or was it that just that they found all this stuff and they're like, oh, we should find someone to handle all of this?
No, it was actually mandated by the passage of the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966. And so that mandated any federal undertaking had to have a cultural resource assessment as part of it. And so this was really kind of an experimental project and figuring out how that law actually worked in practice in the South.
And Jeffrey's brought a lot of little examples of things. But Robin, tell me about maybe an artifact that you found particularly interesting, something that actually really helps you in your teaching.
Well, there's one artifact in particular that's not here, actually, because it's a mesh purse that was found on Georgia State's campus, actually. And when a conservator came, the conservator was like, oh, my gosh, this thing is, like, falling apart. We need to keep it in a box, and no one should handle it, and that sort of thing. But a student had already had an opportunity to create a 3D digital model of it and to study it. And so her work online now makes that artifact accessible, even though it has to be kept in a box in, you know, sort of the locked room on campus.
What year is the purse from?
It's probably from the beginning, first quarter of the 20th century. So so if you think about, you know, kind of flappers and their accessorizing, it's that sort of artifact. It's a beautiful little bag, even though it is falling apart.
Brennan, tell me about an artifact you found particularly interesting.
Well, the burnt baby doll head is probably the one that's most striking to me.
Jeffrey is holding here. I'm holding it also. And it would appear in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What's interesting about the burnt... It's ceramic?
I'm not...
Porcelain, yeah.
Porcelain, yeah.
So I work with students in digitizing, so 3D scanning the objects, and we're dropping it into a 1928 build of the city in VR.
And virtual reality.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the recent thing. We're starting to drop the Phoenix Project objects that have been scanned into this VR virtual reality Atlanta in 1928.
And this baby doll head he's talking about is only about an inch and a half long. And when I say it would be a horror movie, it's because it's this porcelain head with empty eye sockets. And, you know, it's burnt. There's little bits of ash that have attached themselves to the head. All right, and so let me ask the same question of you, Jessica. What did you find interesting?
Well, I mean, the baby doll head is pretty famous. In every single lecture, it comes up because we did have that as an early 3D model. And I do also specialize in 3D visualization and digital object scanning. So for me, I've mostly worked with the glass objects in the collection and trying to figure out the best way to digitally capture glass, because through laser scanning and photogrammetry, it's often very difficult to construct translucent and transparent objects. But the glass can tell you a whole lot, especially for Atlanta, because, you know, Coca-Cola was founded here. And we actually have some objects from the pharmacy where Coca-Cola originated. So you can see some of the original bottles. Actually, Jeffrey's going to hand you
Jeffrey's
one.
Jeffrey's grabbing them
yes.
from me. Here.
So, yeah, working with those, you get a lot of really good historic research that can connect you to the history of Atlanta. And as an Atlanta native, it's been great working with these objects and actually getting to connect with the city.
So here's a tiny little, it looks like if it were large, it would be in a jug band. And it says Viaduct Rye. And I don't feel like I would drink something that had viaduct in the title. Compliments of Jacob Pharmacy. And then there's another one that says Jacob's Pharmacy, Atlanta, Georgia on it, which is a clear bottle. What teaches us, what's more valuable as an archaeological artifact? Something that has been say important to a culture, a scepter of government, right? Or garbage, which is more valuable?
Well, for most of us archaeologists, I would say probably the garbage, right? Because that reveals what life was like for the majority of the people in the past, right? Not just the sort of important kings and queens or powerful people. But, you know, if we want a true understanding of kind of again, what life was like for the bulk of a society, recent past or ancient past, having access to that garbage really does reveal a lot about, you know, what people were eating, sort of consumption, you know, practices. And so having these large trash dumps, which is a lot of this stuff is from a site which is in the Gulch, which was the municipal dump site for Atlanta from the late 1800s to the early 1900s. And there was a crematorium there where they were burning garbage sometimes, which is why that doll head is partially incinerated. But having access to that, we have 100 boxes of artifacts just from that one site. Really does provide some insight into sort of consumer practices changing, sort of the changing shape of the city and its access to, you know, resources local and distant over time.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Jeffrey Glover, Brandon Collins, Robin Wharton from Georgia State University, and also Jessica Moss, who's a master's student at State. So, Robin, how does trash give you kind of a better inspiration for students? Is there something about this project that kind of illuminates history in a way that others don't?
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of students, history is something that's in books, right? Or, you know, artifacts are things that are in museums behind glass. And so just like when Jeffrey walked in this morning with all this stuff and laid it out on the table, like when I walk into my classroom and, you know, and they start handling these things and I'm like, okay, these are the things that you're going to be studying over the course of the semester and writing about and researching, I think it brings it present for them. You know, that history, this is something that a person from, you know, the late 1800s, the early 20th century actually handled. That doll that's burned, that was like a little kid's doll that she loved that, you know, eventually she grew up and it got thrown out and burned. And they sort of use the objects as a way to attach their sort of interest to those stories. And then there's like an authentic audience. You know, they're really contributing to a project. It's not just a paper that they're going to throw in the
right, their work,
you know, in the trash at the end. And so their work kind of lives on after the class.
Yeah,
so.
Which brings us to you, Jessica. How do you view this as an educational tool also?
Oh, I did my undergrad at Georgia State as well. So I've had the opportunity to work with this collection for about 6 years now. And just being able to touch a collection.
Do you tell people that? I'm at Georgia State working with garbage for 6 years.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's a point of pride. Okay. Yeah. It being able to actually curate a hands-on collection as an undergrad is something that you don't get in most universities. Normally, these things are much more theoretical. You learn the processes and the ideas behind it, but you don't actually get to physically touch objects. The visceral connection that we have to this collection really helps us feel like archaeologists, even at an undergrad level. And as I got into grad school, that same connection, that same love of the collection has continued as I've been helping with the 3D object collection and putting it into the virtual reality Atlanta. I don't know, it's just something about being able to work with it is such a unique experience that, you know, Georgia State offers.
So, Brendan, what's added to it, our knowledge of these artifacts by seeing it on a map? What do we learn from the map?
Well, we haven't fully started mapping it out yet, but the idea is to start connecting the objects to iconic places in Atlanta. So, you know, some of the shards of plates might have the name of a hotel on the back of it. So you could imagine eventually creating a game where students are finding these objects and having to then go to those places.
Right, kind of a reverse scavenger hunt or something. Yeah,
yeah. And then learning as they go. And so constructing narratives as they move about the city, interacting with these objects.
You know, Jeffrey, one of the reasons that people, especially universities, rarely let undergrads, for example, touch artifacts is because they're afraid they're going to break them. Why isn't Georgia State afraid?
I wouldn't say we're not afraid. No, I mean, you know, again, this was one of the reasons that to get this collection back to Georgia State was to have stuff, you know, things, collections, materials for students to work with. You know, they do it under supervision. And our students are responsible, truthfully, you know, and it's, you know, you can impress upon them the significance of like, this is something that belonged to someone over 100 years ago, right? There isn't another one of these things there isn't many of these things.
You're gesturing like to the old pharmacy bottle.
Sure.
Well, tell me about another artifact that you brought.
This is a good one, especially for the morning. Valentine's meat juice, which I forgot to have this morning.
I'm almost afraid.
So this was a dietary supplement in the late 1800s, and in fact was popularized by President Garfield, who claimed he drank it every morning.
Wait, what's in meat juice?
What you think?
Okay.
Extracts of meat and meat juices. I'm sure the sort of, you know, liquefied marrow and sinew and whatnot is delicious in a small bottle, but.
And you're suggesting sending this on Valentine's?
Of course, Valentine's.
That's a horrible idea. and so, Robin, wrap this up for us here. What do you kind of learn about a culture? What have you learned, maybe, through this collection that is surprising?
I think one of the surprising things for me and my students is how global culture, globalization is not necessarily a new thing. Like, there are so many, one of the bottles here, like, there's a taller, you know, kind of skinnier bottle here, is actually an ink bottle that was made in England. There's a clay pipe that, there are kaolin deposits in Georgia, but the name of the clay and the style of the pipe is actually based on pipes that were made in China. And so I think, and, you know, like, thinking about even, you know, 100, 150 years ago, there were all of these global connections, like, coming together in Atlanta. That's a history that I think is really valuable, that this collection in particular embodies.
That's the voice of Robin Wharton from Georgia State University. Her colleagues are with her today, Jeffrey Glover and Brendan Collins. And we also heard from Jessica Moss, a master's student at State. Thanks so much to all four of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for bringing garbage to the show.
Anytime.